We're on. Okay. Thank you. This is January 27th meeting, first of the 2020 Planning and Zoning Board meeting. And I'll call the meeting to order. I'd like to start off with, why don't we have a Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for coming. Let me have a roll. Should I read the roll call, or I don't know who the secretary is this year. Okay, Bob Michelson.
Here.
Megan Hansen.
Here.
Greg Chilcott.
Here.
John Kellogg here, and Dan Ritter is absent. We have a fairly healthy agenda tonight. There are a number of issues that we wanted to bring up, sort of housekeeping type of things. Good point. Do we have minutes from the April meeting?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we do not have minutes from your April meeting. That meeting was held right before our town clerk resigned. And as we worked through the backlog of council minutes, your minutes were overlooked. So we'll pull those together for you and have them for your next meeting for approval.
Thank you. There are a couple of items on the agenda that are following up from discussions we had last year regarding the growth policy that was adopted. The growth policy included quite an extensive number of objectives and actions that were supposed to be followed up. Some of these, I think, have been followed up by council and the city. Others, I just suggested to the mayor and to the city clerk that maybe we could look into these and discuss them and see which of these activities should be followed up on. That's one thing, and there was also a discussion last year regarding possible revisions to the town code. As I recall, the town code was revised about 10 years ago, I think. And within that development code, there was an array of zoning regulations that were adopted by the town. After this length of time, it may seem appropriate for the town to revisit those zoning regulations and see if they're working appropriately for the town. But I would, I guess, defer to the mayor and to council, and Bob's our representative from council on the planning board, as to whether this activity ought to be initiated by the town council or the mayor, or it's something that we want to put on our work program for the planning board to take a look at this next year. So that's the other kind of housekeeping item that's on the agenda. We also have a nomination and election of board officers, which we do every year. We also have potentially a further discussion of our meeting from last April regarding the school long-range plans. Apparently something that's coming up fairly soon is the vacation and redesign of Phillips Street around the playground on the school campus. And there's some other items in the school's long-range plan that the town might want to take a look at reviewing and maybe working along with the school board to see how those activities can be planned for in the future. So that's another item that's on the agenda tonight. The final item is a request by Jesse Reeves to be annexed and to be incorporated into the town and to be zoned. So this is a review by the planning board of Jesse's request for annexation and zoning, and the board, if it is their will make a recommendation from us to the town council on whether Jesse's request should be adopted or not. Those are the items we've got on the agenda tonight. And I guess from the board, is there a recommendation for a rearrangement of the order of those items? Probably the most one that'll potentially get the most discussion, I guess, is Jesse's annexation and zoning request. Do you want to move that up on the agenda a little bit after board officers?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion to move item D up to
C. Mm-hmm.
Item C on up to right below item A. So it'd be item B. Okay. I think we should elect our officers first.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to revise the agenda so that item C is moved up to second and under new business. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? No. It's unanimous then that we want to rearrange the agenda then. Okay. Thank you. Although it's not an item identified specifically in the order of the minutes, we'd like to open the floor to public comment on items not listed on the agenda that folks may have that they want to bring up and express an opinion on or request some discussion on.
Yes, I'll go up here. My name is Marilyn Wolf. I live at 300 Aspen Trail in Stevensville, and I wanted to know if board members are aware of a new 129-unit development called Burnt Fork Estates that's going to be located in the city, east of town. And I'd like to know if you have seen the pre-application for this subdivision, and are you going to follow the 2016 Stevensville growth policy in your review of this development?
Since I'm intimately involved in the project that you mentioned, I guess what I could do, and I won't, I'll allow other members to respond to you, but maybe outline right now. There has been no pre-application. There is no application right now. We've had, as you're aware, preliminary discussions with city administration regarding this and with a committee of Creekside homeowners regarding that proposal. Nothing has been, as I said, presented to the town for review as of now. And I'll,
so nothing's been looked at, or obviously without any pre-application, you haven't really seen anything?
We've had conversations and we've had letters back and forth from the city, and in fact, I believe the Creekside homeowners, you had a committee that presented a letter to the town and to us regarding your concerns about the variety of issues. That's been looked at by the town. The response that we hoped to provide was in the meeting that we had with you a couple weeks back here regarding our general plans for the project.
But this body's not having...
But that's what we're saying, it's not...
We, I mean...
I have...
Right. Yeah, I should correct that. I'm speaking as me from PCI.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's been nothing that the board has reviewed, nothing's been presented to the board.
Any anticipation of the next meeting? Would that be monthly that you're going to meet now?
Once the application is presented to the town, they will schedule, I assume, a hearing before the planning board, followed by a subsequent hearing before the town council in regard to what the application entails and the full subdivision review.
Okay. So it's just one meeting that would be on this subdivision, or would there be multiple meetings with your board to discuss it?
The basic requirement is, I think, a public hearing. My understanding is that the town probably will have two public hearings, one before the planning board and one before town council, except I think that remains to be seen by how the town will respond to the application. The planning board will necessarily review and make a recommendation to town council regarding the application. The town council will then need to notify adjacent landowners, post the property, advertise in the newspaper, and hold a public hearing regarding the what's proposed.
So that means that everyone in Creekside Meadows will receive a notice, and other neighbors in the area?
The requirement is everyone within 300 feet of the property needs to be noticed. As an aside, I'm certain that the Creekside Homeowners Association will be, as will your attorney. So I'm certain that the word will get out.
Mr. Chairman, the meeting. Brandon was saying it was 500 feet.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, the town's policy is to send notification of a subdivision or any other land use action to anyone within 500 feet of the property. And that's calculated through GIS. It's computerized. So, you know, if you're outside of that perimeter, you may not get a letter. But then we do have requirements where it's noticed. Whatever public hearing is held is noticed in Midnight Star, for our case, two times before the hearing is held. So you'll have at least 2 weeks' notice of that hearing.
Okay.
So start to finish, to walk through the entire process. It sounds like there are concerns about how quickly or slowly the process moves and how people are informed of it. Once an application comes to town hall, it's reviewed internally by staff to make sure it meets the criteria that we require for subdivisions in Stevensville based on the growth policy and the development code that's in place. Those are the ground rules and the laws that govern how we process applications. Once that staff review has been done, we'll present that to the Planning and Zoning Board with basically a staff recommendation, and Planning and Zoning will vet that recommendation or not. They'll then maybe make their own recommendation, and based on whatever public comment they receive in their meetings, that could drive how the process moves forward from there. It may take one very long meeting to get through the subdivision review with the Planning and Zoning Board, or it may take more meetings than that. We kind of wing it and just get a sense of it.
Okay.
From there, when Planning and Zoning makes their recommendation, the Town Council will then review the application with the public hearing process as well. And then it's given final action based on the preliminary plat.
Who are the city staff that are going to be reviewing it initially?
It'll be the department heads, so Public Works Department Head George Thomas, Fire Chief Jeff Mahman, Police Chief James Marble, the Building Department Head Tim Netsley, and myself as the Zoning Administration.
Okay.
Zoning Administrator.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think I missed any department heads.
Yeah, thank you. I stand corrected. I think the 300 feet comes from zoning, but the 500 feet is what the town uses for subdivision notifications.
Yeah, there's two delineations in code. One says 300 feet, one says 5. Mm-hmm. We just default to 5 for everything because it's easier.
Okay.
And it's more inclusive. And the property will be posted with any subdivision acts, action. In addition, when we talk about letters, aside from those who are within 500 feet of the property, we'll also notify any agencies that will be impacted. For example, Bear Valley County, the Library District, the Rural Fire District, those types of public service agencies will also be notified by letter and given an opportunity to respond.
Thank you. Were there other questions you had, Marilyn?
I think for now that.
Okay. Okay. Is there any other public comment outside of the agenda items? Great. Thank you. Let's proceed with the agenda. As a follow-up to the growth policy recommendations, I think what would be the most efficient way for me to address this question is there are about 11 pages of objectives, actions, and who's to accomplish that action, such as getting local commercial and industrial businesses engaged in organizing a business owners roundtable. It's a recommendation of the growth policy. And that was between the town of Stevensville, Ravalli County, and Ravalli County Economic Development Agency. So there's a host of items here, and rather than slogging through them, I think probably the most efficient way is if I would email this to all of the board members, have you take a look at it and see. And Bob, you can help us out as far as what council has done in the way of following up with this. Mm-hmm. That might be the best way to approach that.
Okay. So you'll email this and
I'll email that, and we can bring that up at a future.
Do you want copies now?
I wanted,
if you guys were referring to it, I wanted to make sure you had a copy of this.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's on our website.
To look at it, think of priorities,
yeah.
Discuss it in our next meeting,
yeah,
and then make recommendations from there.
Perhaps recommend follow-ups to the items that have fallen through the cracks and have not been pursued to see if there is a recommendation from.
Request them when you email that you tell us what has been done, maybe.
Assume to Bob get that for us.
Okay.
Anytime. I can work on it as soon as it gets in my box. And
okay.
I can work in coordination with Brandon, too, even more.
Okay. Well, let me start off with that route, with the two of you looking at it and seeing what you're familiar with in the way of follow-ups, and then we can come back to the board to see what needs to be pursued.
Maybe. Okay. Sounds good.
I've already written down what my priority was for the last time.
Excellent.
Yeah. Who knew?
Second, the next item on the agenda is discussion, nomination, and election of board officers.
Mr. Chairman, I nominate you as chairman of this body.
I second that.
Call me the question.
I sense a railroad
question.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to have me chairman. Okay. Okay.
Congratulations.
So is there further discussion?
Only if you want to discuss.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I make a motion to elect Greg as vice chairman.
Dan's not here.
He gets to be treasurer.
He's already treasurer. Dan was our
secretary. You did a good job.
Is there a second for Greg to be vice chair?
Sure, I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Congratulations. For the position of secretary, currently, and I guess that involves taking the tape from the meeting and turning it into minutes for the next meeting. Is there a nomination for that position?
Maybe.
If I could have a second because of the amount of time I travel, that's what I'm worried about.
It could be accomplished long distance.
You're so nice.
All right.
All right. I'll do it.
It's been nominated. I think Bob seconded. Mm-hmm. And Megan be secretary. Discussion?
Somebody will give me the run through of what I'm supposed to do?
Yes.
Great.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opposition? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the request by Jesse Reeves.
Can I ask if this is something you're involved
Yes,
with?
And in so stating, I should probably recuse myself from the discussion and actually sit on the other side of the fence and make the presentation to you, I guess. I think you've got...
I printed out everything that can.
Yeah, the only thing is a little larger.
Oh, sure, okay.
Larger layout of the property.
South side of the floor.
Yes.
Yeah. Logan, okay. Okay.
Like I said, I'd like to recuse myself from discussion here. And so if, Greg, you could moderate it. Let me make a presentation of Jesse's proposal here.
All right. So we'll go ahead and hear a report on the annexation and zoning of a 26.06-acre parcel known as Tract 1B, Circuit of Survey 691110-R is in Romeo, otherwise known as parcel number 28753. John, would you give us a report, please?
Thanks. This property's bounded by Little Burnt Fork Road and Logan Lane on the north and east. On the west side of it is the Twin Forks subdivision. Twin Creeks subdivision. And a parcel taken out of this 20 acres originally is land that the town currently owns where the well field is located. I think you may have seen this property is what the town owns and where their well field is located, right immediately adjacent to the Twin Creeks subdivision. Jesse is proposing to build a house and to operate his business, his backhoe business, excavating business out of this property, and as such is requesting annexation so that he can connect to city sewer and water, which is immediately adjacent to the property. We looked at what is the most appropriate zoning for this, and because he wants to operate his business along with the residents on the property, the most appropriate zoning to request here was C2, a lighter commercial zoning.
Because it could be done with a variance?
No, it wouldn't need a variance.
So we'd have to go R and then variance it. Okay. It's not zoned right now. I get it.
C2
yeah.
allows, but unlike industrial, unfortunately, C2 allows residences.
Yeah.
As a permitted use.
Yeah.
It would also allow what Jesse wants to do in the way of operating his business, his excavating business out of that location. And so it seemed most appropriate. So he's requesting both annexation and the C2 zoning, which will again go through the hearing process in front of council. The job of the planning board here would be to make a recommendation to council if they think this is appropriate, one way or another. I guess I'll let Jesse expound on that if there's any additional information you'd like to present to the planning board. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesse, anything you want to add to?
I don't think so. I mean, I think John pretty much spoke what our plans are. We plan on living there. We live about 10 minutes out of town up on Steve I Airport Road, and we just wanted to be closer to town. Our boys are just going, starting school. We want to get more involved in the school, and so this is just a great spot for us, being close to town, close to school, a little bit of visibility for, we have a construction business, do custom homes. We really like the spot and being able to annex in and utilize city hookups is ideal for us. So that's pretty much it.
Good. Megan? So.
I got last question.
Please.
You said construction, is it excavation or build the construction?
General contracting.
Okay.
And we typically will do our own excavation on our own projects. We're a small company, do 2 to 3, projects a year.
Do you prefab or do you have any storage? What do you anticipate?
So anticipation for as far as what you see is, I have equipment, construction equipment. We would have a shed, for storing, like machine shed. We want to do like a kind of an old fashioned looking barn to kind of blend in with, that's, what I love. We do a lot of projects with reclaimed materials, and so this would kind of be something to showcase what we do in a tasteful way. Right away, we're wanting to clean up the place, make it more presentable.
Is there existing something there, building?
There's, as you can see, there is quite a mess up in that corner.
I'm not
there.
Sure what it is.
Okay. It's not as extensive as what you see on there now.
Yeah. You're talking down here, where the proposed building is?
Up in the, that's just kind of a cleared out, right in that area there.
I guess maybe that's my question then. Is this this thing that says proposed building area? Is
that's
that
not where we would like to build our home.
Okay, yep. So then one of my next questions was, why does the whole 26 acres need to be C2 is that whole 26 acres being a construction? I mean, we would have to be okay with that whole area turning into, it could be 7-Elevens.
One issue is that it's one parcel. You can't divide a parcel. It's in right.
And is there, can you get an approach permit? Or are you going to take the approach permit?
We're looking at access off of the
Twin Creeks.
Twin Creeks. Oh,
would that be right. Access for everything or just the house? Right. And then commercial would be open?
Everything would be access from that point. There's nothing preventing asking for a county approach permit off of Logan Lane. Okay.
Right.
Which might be convenient at some time.
We would like that.
And that body of water, is that water?
Yes. That's deeply involved in the city's water rights issue right now. It is a pond, yes, which potentially
deeply involved.
Is a source of recharge for the wells.
Where's the water coming from? Irrigation, right? To it, or
I'll let Brandon answer this.
So, what the pond does is, when the town of Stevensville abandoned the infiltration gallery about a mile east of this property, where we collected our water for the city system, when we abandoned that system and put the four wells on the adjacent property, that pond was utilized to collect the water we weren't using up above. So the water comes down from ditches, comes into the ditches, it goes into that pond, and then it helps us, especially through the wintertime, mitigate flows to the Bitter River per DNRC's requirement. So if we can't mitigate the Bitter River flow, especially in the wintertime when we're pulling water out of the ground and there's not much coming out of the mountains, if we can't do that, then we risk not being able to have our wells permitted, which we're going on.
So this is a source for the wells?
It's not necessarily a source for the wells, but what it does, it's supposedly, as the DNRC explains it to me, it's recharging the Bitter River, it's maintaining a flow that they want to see in the Bitter River, and so it's offsetting the impacts of us of the town pulling water out of the ground for municipal uses. So they go hand in hand. In a roundabout way, yes, that water is our well water, it's just not directly. Without that water, we
and there's
have
some easement where he's allowing those.
That's something that, as we received the application just last week. So the staff does its review, that's something that we'll recommend right now, as it stands. The staff's recommending annexation with conditions. One of those conditions is obviously an easement, at least over that pond, to ensure that the city's water supply is in jeopardy.
It seems like groundwater contamination would be a...
Right. And in conversations with Mr. Reeves, very early on when he first started looking at purchasing this property, at that time the town had a right of first refusal, which it declined to use. In conversing with him, he understands the impacts of that water, and he certainly, as a customer on the water system, will have an interest in making sure that that water stays clean and doesn't go anyplace. So, and he's fully understood that. He, I think, wants to see that pond there and has expressed so.
So certainly, if we allow C2 zoning on this, totally aside of what seems like very good intentions, you blanket something with C2 and it gets sold in 20 years.
Correct, yes. There are some C2 uses adjacent to or in the neighborhood.
What are the closest C2?
So across the street from the Twin Creek subdivision, across Middleburg Fork Road, we have Harlow's Bus Service.
Food Bank?
And then we have the Food Bank and Close Pantry as well.
Right.
So those are the two closest commercial uses right off that roadway. Right now, we're going with the C2 mindset. There are some questions that probably need to be asked still in regards to, the equipment. I'm assuming it's just equipment storage. It's not considered using the equipment.
It's always storage. It's when it's not used.
So there are some things we may still need to talk through, what? Like C2, the right zone for this. It may be something where variance is in fact needed to be granted.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you, and I don't know, why wouldn't you zone this residentially to cover the future and then grant a variance?
The C2 is a fairly light commercial. The C1 is the downtown district.
Yeah.
C3 is highway commercial, which is what 200-foot wide swath south of town is extraterritorially zoned, going down East Side Highway.
The new C3. REC.
Pardon me?
Bell Electric, that would be within that, right?
Not quite. No.
That's county. Sure.
So it's a more intensive, the C3 is more intensive highway type commercial.
Okay.
Gas stations and that type
of thing. So a gas station is not within C3?
No.
Okay.
And the other reality I think that's recognized is that right now this is county, it's unzoned.
It could be anything.
He could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Right, coming in for annexation, he's looking, I believe, for service, if I understood his for your testimony, he's looking for those services, and it sounds like he's willing to do some horse trading with town of Stephenville, grant them an easement for their water on your property, and also provide some level of zoning assurance into the future, where if you didn't go through the town of Stephenville, you could do what you
That's a really good point.
Do what you damn well please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The C2 election was more or less a path of least resistance in terms of process and efficiency, where if we slap a C2 zoning on there and it fits and it works for what Mr. Reed is with the property, then we all move along. But if it doesn't work or it's another desire of the board to go a different direction, it just involves more process. Not a bad thing, it's just process. We're having to undertake whatever process needs to be done.
What would somebody in the future who had the property and it was C2 need to do to say suddenly they want 100 houses on there? I don't know, whatever. They want to subdivide it into 0.4 acre lots.
They could put residential on there.
They'd be limited to 10 units an acre.
10 an acre?
10 units per acre.
Good Lord. That's a lot.
Assuming that every acre is built.
Yes.
Do we have any PUD zoning? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Brandon. When this came on the agenda this last winter, and you guys were going back and forth as far as the easement trade-off that we've been discussing, was it brought up, was the wells brought up into discussion there? If the town wanted to... Because wasn't that one of the reasons the town wanted to purchase the land? Was for future use of the well?
Correct, yes. That was part of the conversation when the town, it was part of the vision when the town had the right of first refusal placed on the property by the credit union previous owners. It was that additional wells may have been placed on that property if the town wanted. That's something that we're continually going to converse with Mr. Reeves on as to whether or not that is the best place to add more wells to our system as the community grows. That's a very, 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 very slow-moving project.
Correct. I'm just saying that would be something that could be put on the plate.
Sure.
As far as...
The reason it's moving so slowly is in part because right now we're focused on getting the wells that we have permitted. And with the wells we have enough capacity to service every buildable lot that's currently annexed in, or that's already on the system. So we're not necessarily under capacity crunch unless we see some sort of catastrophic failure where an entire well was decommissioned completely, including public water. And we're also more focused on water storage capacity versus the ability to pump more water out of the ground. We can get enough of it out of the ground right now, for the next 5 years, roughly. I'm not an engineer. Hold me to that if your taps go dry.
Thank you.
Can I ask, and maybe you've already, but if the town had a first right of refusal on the property, why did the town not buy it?
The town council opted not to, and there were a variety of reasons that you welcome to divulge in the town council's minutes to find out.
Okay. But you must have been aware that it had the town's water supply sitting on your property.
Yeah, as far as the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. No, I think we're on board with having good water, especially since we're going to be using it.
Right.
Hopefully.
So this move would be to zone it to C2. We'd see another round through when anything got built on this, because it would then be in town.
Well, annex it as C2.
Right.
And then you'd have to go through the permitting process for the development code, right, et cetera.
You wouldn't necessarily, if
I guess we don't see it anyway.
Planning and zoning board won't necessarily see this again if
there's nothing weird
about recommend to approve the annexation and the annexation was approved by council, then that would in theory be the last you'll see of Mr. Reeves unless he wants to do something different.
Right. Okay.
So like I said, the intent was to
the intent here was to look at a light commercial, a commercial that doesn't look at intensive highway commercial uses and wouldn't be something that would compete with downtown commercial. Those are more intensive commercial uses.
And it wouldn't generate a lot of traffic, right?
The commercial uses listed, office space type things, would not be as large traffic generators as is allowed in highway commercial, where you've got like gas stations and such. Yeah.
What I should know this, but I don't offhand without reviewing. What are the setbacks on a C2 for buildable? Do we have any? Is there any wildland overlays?
Not within the zoning. Not within the zoning, but
yeah, I'm probably thinking more.
I would imagine.
Sorry.
That as a follow-up, as the mayor mentioned, if an easement is placed around the pond, that there could be a buffer around that also. Mm-hmm. That would protect that. As far as building setbacks, though, the front setback
15, 20.
Is 15 feet.
So minimum.
Rear is 20,
yeah.
Seven and a half. These are fairly similar to residential setbacks,
yeah.
A little bit less on the front, but generally matching a lot of what the residential setbacks are.
He's also limited to covering the lot with 60% structures, so no more than obviously it's an ginormous lot, but we talk about how much you can cover with structures.
Define structure, is that impervious surface or is that roof, or how do you define structure?
You should define structure. You're on the board that adopted
it. Did we define structure?
Typically, I would hear it called impervious. Determined after public right of way.
Structure means a combination of materials constructed and erected permanently on or under the ground, excluding fences.
So we count sheds, barns, shops, houses, gazebos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that includes ground. I don't.
Yeah, we should look at that someday about impervious surface, because that's a different.
That was agenda item.
Yeah,
so lot coverage, the footnote shows that lot coverage is determined after public right-of-way and private roads are subtracted from the gross land area. So it's private road would be counted, subtracted. But he is limited to 60% coverage on that lot. Or he or any person who occupies that
any
property.
Any person.
And that's going to diminish drastically when you take the square footage of the pond out of that equation as well. And while we put emphasis on the pond, the passages of water to the pond are also of interest to the town as well.
Great, because there's a major...
Right, yes. Yeah. The pond does us no good if we can't get our water to it.
Um, So we don't say anything about impervious surface. Like, you could pave this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think the word impervious surface is anywhere in our code.
I mean, all this is kind of a moot point because you're taking it further than it is now, which is great, I think. Mm-hmm. See, even coming under zoning seems like a good thing. But it's a really pretty, it's a nice piece of property.
Yeah,
if you look at that, the only time that impervious is used anywhere in Stevensville's municipal code, and the entire code is in regards to grease and oil interceptors. So, sorry, it's not in the development code.
Okay.
And it's not used with the word surface either.
I did not make that up. That is a very used term.
And
something we should consider as we start.
Yeah, that's later in your agenda.
Getting into this. Okay.
John, do you have anything else?
That's all, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and open this up for any public comment. Any public comment? Last call for public comment. Further board discussion. Any further board discussion? Is there a motion to recommend?
I can do that. I make a motion to bring before the town council to approve the annexation and zoning of 26.06 acre parcel known as Tract 1B CS 69110-R parcel 28753.
And are you, the zoning you're recommending is C2?
Correct.
Can I ask you a question?
Can I
vote with, assuming we're going to have some of these overlays, like you're saying, setbacks around the pond? That kind of stuff, or we just blanket C2?
I don't think we have any, we can't impose regulations that don't exist. So, I think we have to use what's on the books right now.
Okay.
I would assume when town council sits with them, there's going to be discussion on the pond, there's going to be protections aren't going to want in place, and I think we're going to have some discussions over that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to recommend annexation and C2 zoning of the aforementioned parcel, 26.06 acres. Any public comment on the motion? Any public comment on the motion? Staff comment.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I'd just like to clarify, this is an item that will come for a public hearing, so it'll be noticed in the paper before it comes before town council, so that there's an opportunity for further public comment outside of this meeting as well.
Thank you. Any further board discussion? All those in favor of the motion on the floor, please signify with aye. Bob?
Aye.
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 John recused himself. I vote aye as well. Motion passes. I yield the chair back to the chairman.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item D. Sorry, excuse me. Let me back up. Agenda item what is now C. Last April, Mr. Moore, the superintendent, met with us to discuss the high school's long-range plans for the area currently under the school and also east of the school. Those long-range plans were fairly important in regard to future transportation, future road plans for the town. And I don't know if it's been requested yet, but the school is looking at
requesting a realignment of Phillips Street, which will enable a larger playground area for the kindergarteners and others in the school. So I think this is something that maybe will be coming to the board in the future, or is it something that the council will be discussing in the future? I just wanted to bring this up.
Sure. So in regards to the Phillips Street vacate and moving that right of way, we've received correspondence from the school initiating that process. We're waiting for formal petition so that the council can start the public noticing process and undertake that, which will be similar to an alley vacate, which we just finished up with one of those. So it won't necessarily come before the Planning and Zoning Board unless it's requested to by council, but it will go straight to council as a right-of-way vacate with public hearing and decision as soon as we receive it.
Sorry.
Sure. The formal document.
Okay.
It was my understanding, too, a major reason for that was safety, mm-hmm. because they have a public road between a school and a playground, which mm-hmm. just seems like a bad setup anyway.
Mm-hmm. In this case, it seems fairly logical to move that public road further away from where the kids are going to be coming right out the door. But there are other things within that long-range plan as far as the property to the east of the campus that might be something that we would look at for future discussion. I think the school, it's probably no surprise in the big picture, we'll be looking at some time down the road a new location for the high school when they continue to expand, and that'll probably be at a future site across the railroad tracks and across the irrigation ditch. But I guess it's something that would be good if we keep in communication with those folks and if necessary, maybe help provide some recommendations to council if they so desire. When these things come up. So that's basically all I had on that issue. Is there any other concerns about that, the school's long-range plan? Okay.
Because the bond didn't pass. So it sort of got set back, but ultimately...
It passed.
The second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't see your tax
statement? No. I mean, I voted for it, so that's great. Yeah. But I thought it did. So they are on track with MMW's plan that was presented.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yes. We actually have an expert in the room that can answer those questions.
There you go.
Good evening, Bob.
Good evening. Yes, the bond did pass.
Sorry about that. I did vote for it.
At this point in time, the MMW and our construction contractor and general contractor are working on a phasing plan. And when we have all that in place and the final developmental design in place that we know is within the budget of the bond, then of course we're going to come back and engage with the planning board or town council or whoever is appropriate to engage with. You're correct in Phillips Street, and we're planning on requesting to vacate the existing Phillips Street with leaving the easement for this water and sewer and everything where it is. But you are correct that there is a street that all of our students have to cross before they can get to the playground. So we cross kindergarten students to meet students across that street sometimes six times a day. And so that's one big piece. And then as we look to the east, and we've had to work with MRL on a new crossing, we're looking at a new crossing. Approximately probably 300 feet south of the existing Senex Gold plant to access that property across the railroad tracks between the toll of the ditch and MRL. and looking at some development there for two of our practice field on two and our PE field on two, because we're going to put parking on the east side of the building where the current PE field is. So those are the big plans at this point in time. But we'll, as soon as we get everything lined out here, we know that the development design is within budget, then we'll be contacting you and moving forward with those. Our first meeting is February 6th.
The Board of Adjustments has a meeting on the 6th of February to hear an agency exemption in regard to landscaping requirements and parking. So our development code requires a certain amount of landscaping in combination of parking lots, and the schools ask for an exemption from that due to the costs of providing landscaping at the level or the amount of parking that they're going to provide. So they're basically taking a process from state code, which allows a governmental agency to exempt themselves from the development code. Public hearing is required for that first.
Because that was sort of my question, Mr. Chairman, Mayor, when the school comes in and they've got the bond, they start to build, I'm a little unclear what our role in that is, or I can't think of a role that this body would have, and nor do I believe we should have a role on public and institutional.
Correct. You really don't have a role in terms of like this project and moving it forward. I think the chairman's intent was that you do have a role in the future, long-range planning that the school has, so that those tie in with what the city's long-range plans look like as well.
Moving around the
for transportation.
Sure. Transportation. And even in utilities.
Thank you. Yeah, the discussion perhaps is a little premature. When Monica asked for items on the agenda, I was following up with Superintendent Moore's discussion with us last April. And I just wanted to keep following up with that.
Can I ask the superintendent a question?
Dan's here.
Related.
We're not the chair. Dan's here. Can I
ask the superintendent?
Yeah. Let me put for the record that Mr. Ritter is here.
And we voted for you. You are the president, the vice president, yes, and the secretary.
Congratulations.
sorry, really quick. Any interest, or is the school pursuing LEED for any certification programs on that city, on that school?
At this point in time, no, because of the expense of LEED certifying building.
But is MMW pushing some good things, I assume?
Is pushing high efficiency boilers, air handlers,
daylight,
window, daylight, the whole thing. So, I tend to lean in that direction myself. But getting a building LEED certified is very expensive, and
it is. MMW has some good people, though.
Yeah, they didn't feel it was cost effective for it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to the last agenda item, revisions to the town's code, Chapter 10. With the experience, especially Mr. Dewey, our mayor, in interpreting the zoning code and having to work with it frequently, and Councillor Michelson, with his experience on council, looking at interpreting the town's development code, I think it'd be good for us, maybe over the next month, to look through, especially the zoning part of the development code, and maybe identify areas where we think it needs to be amended, adjusted, things that maybe slipped through the cracks the first time, or maybe are items that don't seem to follow what the growth policy really needs. And so that's, I think that's something that as a planning board might be on our radar. Maybe I'd like to ask the mayor if that's something that requires council or administrative direction prior to our jumping into it.
I don't necessarily think it warrants, you know, decision from the city council to ask you to proceed, especially in terms of where the growth policy recommends changes to our development code or zoning code anyway. I think that those are probably a good starting point for the planning board to address. And then areas where, which I'm sure are addressed in the development code or in the growth policy, there's some areas administratively that we have challenges addressing with the lack of experience our staff has in the planning. So areas where it's a bit more, for lack of a better term, black and white or easier to interpret, I think that that's going to serve the town better. One of those areas that were out of date with our code is vacation rentals and VRBOs, Airbnbs. Yeah, we don't have any such thing. It's as rare in our code as the word impervious. So, which gets us into some interesting conversations with residents when they are adamant that, you know, a VRBO, you know, down the street is illegal, but our code doesn't allow or prohibit it. And so then as long as they have the applicable licenses, we let it go. But as times change and those things become more frequent, our code falls further and further behind. So I think administratively, it's something that I can address with the town council in their work sessions this week. At the end of the week, we're going to do some strategic planning, and I imagine that there may be some planning and zoning goals that come out of that strategic planning session. So I can update the chairman following those sessions and go from there.
Okay, and I can then pass that along to see where the board would want to go with that then.
We found that the current code, it's functional and it gets done what it needed to get done compared to what we had before this code. But oftentimes we find, especially with elected officials and the turnover that we have, that it's both a curse and a blessing, where it gives just enough latitude for whoever's the zoning administrator to just give an interpretation, but in other areas it lacks so much that sometimes we find ourselves on shaky ground and frequent phone calls to the city attorney. So we don't want that to continue this.
Do you find the format works, or do you find the format that it's laid out in to be kind of laborious or challenging?
I'm probably not the best person to answer that because my experience with other codes is rather limited. However, I guess I can't answer that because I've just forced myself to use it the way it's laid out, and it's less of an issue than there is some layout issues where it says one thing in one place and then you find a footnote elsewhere in the code that applies to the other section, right? So those are challenges that they're not cross-referenced very well. But you know, overall, I think it's laid out okay. It's just lacking in some material that would give the administration some more direction. So, you know, when someone comes in and asks a question, it's laid out versus you might want to call Kelly over at the league to get an interpretation of what this would mean at the state level.
So I guess to give the board direction then, you were going to identify some items that might be worth our looking into then?
Sure. What I'll do is bring planning and zoning up as a topic on Friday's work session with the city council. It's a joint session with staff and council. I'll bring this topic up, bring some further guidance back to the board on that, and then consult with staff and find out what else are the hiccups that we run into that maybe the planning and zoning board can address. So I have a feeling that some of those are going to be addressed in the growth policy, so we'll try to tie those in as well.
And also, Brandon, you being the zoning administrator would know the changes that would need, in your estimation, some changes that would need to be done.
Correct.
As you just talked, that would address the issues that you work with, that would give you some more.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm the person who probably deals with this on a day-to-day basis more than anyone else.
Right.
So yeah, I'm happy to provide those recommendations as to where we find the code is lacking or where it's not looking for the direction we want the community to go. So,
okay. Great. Something I had intended to put a little further up on the agenda. Do we have a report from staff regarding activities and such that we should be aware of coming along?
Sure. So, obviously, I think we've discussed the issues or the conversations that are occurring in regards to the school's bond project. We've also received back an annexation study back from our engineers at Ford HDR. They did an annexation study for the Highway 93Y to determine what it would take to get infrastructure on that side of the river and what that annexation would look like in an effort to possibly bolster the town's tax base. So that report is still in draft form. We need to finalize some things with HDR, and then once that's wrapped up, we'll get that published and get that over to the town council to review. Certainly the Planning and Zoning Board may have some input on that as well. Another hot talk that hasn't been nearly as controversial as the next item, which is the Nicole Court development, which will occur near Ace Hardware off of the East Side Highway. There's a piece of land there that's been owned by the Human Resource Council.
Neighborhood partner.
Yeah. Housing Solutions, et cetera, et cetera.
County or city?
It's within the city.
City.
And it's been looked at over the past probably two decades as a development project for affordable housing and some level of hopefully even some workforce family housing. So they finally have received enough funding through some tax credits and other programs where they're ready to move forward on the project. The project is not a subdivision, so it won't necessarily come before planning and zoning. It won't come before the town council because they're not planning to subdivide. It'll just be one parcel with a number of units on it. So they're looking at fourplexes and duplexes. Altogether, it's 16 units.
Who's doing it? Did you say?
Housing Solutions is the organization that's coordinating the project on behalf of the Human Resource Council. So my understanding, and we have some pamphlets or had some over there, we have to print some more out, but my understanding is it's a mix of housing opportunities where it's the rent is fixed to an income bracket, and they're gearing a lot of it towards for example, a police officer who's relocated to Stevensville and brings his wife and family, his or her family with them, and needs some place to get into to kind of get them on their feet while they're adjusting to working here. That's something that project can facilitate, as well as those who find themselves in domestic violence situations. They have some resources as well for those people. So there's been a lot of conversation here at Town Hall from citizens. How can the mayor just arbitrarily approve this project? Why hasn't the Planning and Zoning Board been involved? The council needs to approve it. Light your torches, here we come. That's not the case. So far, the proposals have all met the requirements of the development code as they're written. So until they don't meet those requirements and refuse to fix those, that won't necessarily come before the elected body. So. Just to kind of ease some folks' concerns in that regard. It's not just being arbitrarily approved. As long as they use the land as it's been zoned and developmentally allowed, we don't have much say in the matter. Certainly if we put our nose in where it doesn't belong, it might cost us more in the long run. And these issues are that, I think, by and large, we continue to see some commercial development go on, and we're seeing some opportunity for some additional development. If the former feed mill that's up for sale. There's been some interest in that facility. Some of that interest has been expressed by the library. We'll see. There's no firm plans for that facility, but it is up for sale. And there's been some development interest on that property.
The East Side Highway work that's going to happen starting next year, the widening of everything, mm-hmm. does that come all the way into town? Does that affect anything?
No, the only thing that's left in town in terms of highway projects, or grudgingly, is the, they're supposed to be done last year.
Fall belt?
No.
Oh.
we have some brickwork we still need to get done. They haven't hit all the check marks off, but they're going to come back through a chip seal this summer. That was supposed to be something that was finished by October 1st, and they couldn't pull it off. So they'll be back through to chip seal Highway 93, a portion of Cutoff Road where the bridge is redone, and Main Street through what they paved on the went down to Pine Hollow. So that'll be chip sealed this summer, but no other projects are planned for MDT in the coming year in terms of the highway in Stevensville itself. They are doing a project where they're going to do some widening and stuff south of town.
Yeah, right. They're doing around the mountains.
They're doing some stuff.
they're not doing a bike lane though.
That's what I understand.
Hey, Brandon.
Yes.
Are you planning on starting the Third Street project this summer, or putting it off for another year?
No. That project, in fact, we hope to. Have underway very, very soon. We're going to start wrapping up community forums probably later in February. A lot of construction designs are starting to pull together. And so what we're discussing is resurfacing East 3rd Street from Main Street to Park Avenue. Certainly from Park Avenue to Spring Street is the worst section, and so that'll be our priority. We'll evaluate the funding that's available in the fiscal year budget and decide whether it's going to be a phased project or how we're going to make that work. We planned on doing this last summer, but the funding availability and the project cost just didn't add up the right way. And so rather than taking on any debt to get the project done, we thought, well, let's try it one more year and see what happens. We've gotten lucky.
Does that include sidewalks, pedestrians,
facilities? It will complete sidewalks on one side of 3rd Street from Main to Park Avenue. For the most part, There's really just one block that needs some help. There's a couple of spots we have to fix, but there's really just one good block that we're going to have to do. So that's brought cost down considerably by waiting, because some of those residences have taken it upon themselves to repair those sidewalks, which is their responsibility to do, and we appreciate that. So there'll also be some curb and gutter work that'll be performed. We're looking at performing some work on West 3rd Street, where the sidewalk and the street level have almost come together, and it's caused some issues with cars driving on the side of buildings. So
really?
To discourage that, we're going to curb it so that the cars stop doing that.
And do you think that's going to do it?
Well, it stops most of them. there's a wall of fame somewhere where they continue to run the bar of the liquor store, but. At any rate, we want to address that, and there's also some curb and gutter in the area of 5th Street and Park Avenue that we're addressing with some parking issues and trees and traffic approaches with crosswalks. Just a lot of congestion. It's a terrible intersection, so we want to look at that. And while we're at it, we're looking at transportation. We're putting some emphasis on a route to school, basically, from Main Street, which would follow 6th up. Currently, there's no sidewalks. There's no sidewalks on 6th, basically, to 5th at College. And it's a high pedestrian traffic area during lunchtime. So we'd like to address that. The state's been good enough to address some crosswalks in that area, but we need to address our end of it and put some sidewalks in. So we're going to start spending down some sidewalk money to address those issues as well. Big plans, not enough summer to do them.
This is almost like summer.
I know that's why we're getting jumpstarted. It's like we could probably get most of our Third Street money spent down before the end of the fiscal year. So that's kind of the hope. If the weather holds out for us, we may be able to get in there earlier. We're going to wait and see what the end of February does. Based on that time last year, we spent a little bit of money on snow removal, so we're going to make sure we don't need that for snow first before we put it in the pavement.
Great, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any more comments from the board that regarding
a schedule moving forward for our meetings?
No.
Okay.
I believe the bylaws or the guidelines say we should meet January, April, August, and December, or something like that. And
it's usually the first month of the quarter.
Yeah. So that's likely what's going to come up. But as been brought up here, there probably will be some other public hearings in between that.
Great. So, per usual, the more worrying, the better.
Yeah. We will make every attempt.
I know. Thank you.
Any other discussion, comments?
Mr. Chairman, in other news, we do have some openings on the Planning and Zoning Board. Unusually we have a crowd tonight. You all must be interested in Planning and Zoning in some fashion.
Someone in Construction Services would be very helpful.
So, yes, and actually the parameters for where that person lives and that sort of thing are relatively open. So we have a couple of positions open on that board. If you're interested, you can check in with me after the meeting or just contact the town clerk tomorrow morning and she can issue an application. It's on our website as well, if you want to download it. But otherwise, if you want to get a version of the town clerk, you can provide that.
I forget what we've got five now, and it's provides
seven,
for seven.
It's a seven in Brooklyn altogether, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what, you brought up a good point, what are the terms of...
We're working on reconciling that for you.
Because
yes.
I think I'm maybe technically not.
Yeah, we're all technically not.
You're holdovers, which is allowed by Montana State law, so you're in forever.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Really? Can
I appoint someone else? You're in. In terms of your time on the board and your terms, the town clerk is working diligently to try to reconcile the records that we have. Every clerk has kept their own records as to how who's on what board and how it is all put together. We've stopped the practice of rolling filing cabinets over to the end.
Yeah, this was done regularly a while back.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
If that's all there is, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion. So,
pardon me?
Adjourn.
Luke, second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Should I turn this off? This little red button?
Or is it just stop?